Yeah, so we're going to be a little bit more testimonial today, sharing a little bit from the Word. You know, obviously, the Bible is probably the most important book and resource that we have, and I'd never want to take that for granted. We have the opportunity to actually have a Bible. Many nations don't have Bibles, and thanks to the American Bible Society, the Gideons, they're getting Bibles out in virtually every language, and Wycliffe translators, and it's really, really good. And Tyndale, they're trying to get these things translated, and it's not easy to translate a Bible. You have to be true to the Word, and you have to be true to the text and what it says. You can't just write stuff, right? Okay, otherwise, you become careless, and you can say anything you want. You have to be careful. It's like Martin Luther translated the Bible into German, and from there, the Latvians got their Bible, translating it from the Martin Luther Bible. So, just a little bit of history there. Anyway, today I want to read from Isaiah 57. You know, I really love the book of Isaiah. I mean, the Old Testament is really difficult at times, but Isaiah is really, really good. I love it. He says here in Isaiah 57, 10, though all your wanderings wearied you, you never said, I give up. Your strength was renewed so that you would not faint and that you did not faint. And then in verse 14, Yahweh says, let the people return to me, build up the road, clear the way, and get it ready. Remove every obstacle from their path, for this is what the High and Majestic One says, the one who fills the Eternal with glory, whose name is Holy. Okay? And then he says, I dwell in high and holy places, but also with the bruised and lowly spirit, those who are humble and quick to repent. I dwell with them to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of those who are broken over their sin. Verse 19, I offer peace to those who are far from me, and I offer peace to those who are near, and I will heal their deepest wounds, says Yahweh. Chapter 58, verse 1, shout it loud and clear. Don't hold back. Let your voice be like a trumpet blast. Declare to my people, and then he says, to their rebellion and to Jacob his sins, because the day on the day you fasted, you were seeking only your own desires. And so God goes on to, but I just wanted to get to that part where it says, shout it loud and clear. Don't hold back. Let your voice be like a trumpet blast. And last year, this time last year, actually, on July 12th of last year, I posted a picture on Facebook of Rocky 1 rather, in round 15 when he was totally beat up and he was totally devastated, and he didn't want to give up. He wanted to keep going, and he told his manager Mick. He said, "Cut me, Mick," and he said, "I don't want to do it." And he goes, "Cut me." So he cuts him so he can relieve the blood off of his eye, so that he could see out of that eye because he was beating him. Apollo Creed was beating him with his. Now I understand it's a movie, etc., etc. But here's some things I want to talk today about how to keep going. It was from that post that a very dear person was spoken to by the Holy Spirit, and I had a chance to sit there with this person, and just as I was sitting there with this person, I had this open vision, and in the vision, I mean, I shared it before, where Jesus took me around and he asked me to be his friend, and that was the beginning of a freedom for me because I had just. This was the ending of the second nervous breakdown that I had, and God was healing me. And of course, you know, I've documented, and in fact, I wrote a book about the freedom that I came to in the breakdown, the breakthrough. But you have to keep going. You can't stop. You can't just say, "Oh, you know, I'm over that." But here's some things that you need to train your brain into this. Okay, you know, you need to trade. Your poverty mentality, a defeatist mentality, a survival mentality. Now, I do know that we get into modes of survival, like we're getting beat up and beat up and beat up, and sometimes all we want to do is survive. If I can just survive. That's different than a survival mentality. Survival mentality means you become a pack rat and you collect everything. You collect emotions. You collect stuff. You just because you think you're going to lose out one day. I used to be such. I used to have things in my garage back home in Jersey. I used to have things that I collected and junk, basically. Well, someday I may need this. And it turns out I never needed them. You know, maybe I'll need them when I'm 29 years older. But so you break that and you come out of a poverty mentality, which means you're going to lose. And you come into a wealth mentality, which means that I am blessed beyond the curse. As it says in Galatians, I'm a blessed beyond the curse because he became the curse for me on the tree. That word Ararat, and we talked about it when we talked about Noah, means reversing the curse. Okay, a lot of Red Sox fans, when dealing with the Yankees, talked about when they won their championship that they reversed the curse. You know, the curse of the Bambino. You can Google that if you don't know what that is. But you have to have in this wealth mentality, you have an ability to be creative. You have an ability to create. It's not just responding. It's creating. Okay. And you always create positive outcomes. Now, I had a vision yesterday, right after I woke up. And in the vision, I saw a friend of mine and he, an acquaintance here at Bethel. And what happened was, you know, he shook me and woke me up and he says, it's time to get going. It's time to get up. It's time to get going. And I was like, okay. So we go outside, out in this field. And I saw the end of the cement, and after that was just all this field. Well, in this field, you know, I was like, I kind of understood what was about ready to happen. Hands me a shovel. It was actually one of those big spades. It was a spade like this. And he said, okay, get going. And I said, aren't you going to help? And he just smiled. And so I started digging. Now, at first it was really easy, and I dug quite a bit of that topsoil. But as I started to dig deeper, there were roots. There was, you know, big roots. There was thin roots. It looked like a spider web in there of the roots. You know, the roots just kind of intertwined. It was tough to dig. And in the midst of the roots was thick rocks, big, heavy-loaded rocks. And you know, you have to get them out. And I remember back in the 90s when I was, I was digging a garden for... now my ex-wife and it was actually, I think it was actually the '80s and, late '80s. And I was digging this garden and I was just going to scrape the top a little bit and then put steer manure and fertilize soil there so we can have a garden. But it turned out that like the first 3 feet were like pretty easy. You know, actually the first 10 inches foot was really, really easy. And I kept going, but then after that was a bunch of rocks. Found out later that property used to be a riverbed, and it had a bunch of those river rocks in there. And I was like, oh. And I ended up hurting my back so much that I couldn't move. I couldn't work. I couldn't be what I used to be athletically because I would throw my back out and all that. And then so in this thing, I would hit these rocks and I would get frustrated. And then my friend looked at me. I believe that he was a type of the Holy Spirit at that moment. He looked up at me and he goes, he just basically says, and I thought he was going to say this. I thought he says, so what's the problem? And he looked at me and he said, so what's the solution? And it took me by surprise. I was like, what's the solution? I don't know what the solution is. You know, my solution was stop digging, give up, give it up. And he said, no, let's find out what the solution is. And so, we didn't come to a conclusion at that point. But right after that, I got a telephone call from a person, a very dear friend of mine. And, they were talking about this, this person who had, been healed, in her kidneys. I mean, she had to go to dialysis, couldn't go to dialysis because, they said that she had symptoms of COVID. So she went back to the hospital. Then she was supposed to go back to the hospital. And then that night, there was a and the timeline could be wrong here, but it like happened within a few days ago, and so when she was sleeping, the spirit of death was upon her, and all of a sudden into the room came this pink cloud and settled upon her, and then as the pink cloud settled, the dark cloud lifted, and as it permeated each of her pores and cells, this dark cloud kept lifting and lifting. So the next day she goes to the hospital, she doesn't need dialysis anymore. God heals her. And God and Jesus told her that she was healed. She's healed of everything. So, she no longer has this thing. She's believing God for that. So what the Lord was saying in that vision was that we're going to enter hard times. People in this world, the unsaved, are going to start to come to believers, not necessarily Christians, but they're going to come to believers. Okay? People who really believe God. And God's going to use the miraculous. He's going to use signs and wonders. He's going to use the miraculous to bring about the uprooting of the problems, the burdens that the rocks, the burdens that people were carrying are going to be gone. And God's going to do it through creative miracles as well as the other things. So what a wealth mentality does and what the never give up attitude is that you can do this. It's a can do attitude. Like, I can't do that. It's always like, I can do it. I can do this. And so God is calling us to start doing and to be people, not the power of positive thinking, but the power of biblical thinking. The Bible says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, you have to see yourself the way that God sees you. You can't see yourself the way people see you, or even sometimes that we see us. You have to see yourself as God sees you. God sees you as complete, as whole. Remember, he's not locked into time and space, and he loves you, but he sees you whole. He sees you pure. He sees you lovely. He sees you beautiful. And he says in Song of Songs that, that one glance of your worshiping eyes and I am undone. You thrill me. He says these things over and over again. And so you have to see yourself as God sees you. And then you have to understand too that you become, what you think God thinks about you. You know, you become what you think the person of the person you honor the most and respect the most. You become what you think they think you are. That's why you have to see yourself out of God's eyes. And I told you this before that, in Psalm 139, he says, my love thoughts toward you are more numerous than the sands on every shore. Okay. So. That's some good stuff right there, Tom. Yeah, I appreciate that. Anyway, so here we go. In Isaiah 57, he says, all your wanderings wearied you, though life is starting to weary you, you never said, I give up. Your strength was renewed so that you did not faint. All right, he's talking to the godly ones here. He's talking to the ones who are resting serenely, who are in peace. Is this whole point about the peace is that you come to a person. I love this that he says in Isaiah 57 verse 14, Yahweh says, this personal God says, let the people return to me. Build up the road, clear the way and get it ready. Remove every obstacle. So that's another key, is that you need to start building even though you don't see it. Remember, Nehemiah had to start rebuilding the city, the walls. And you have to come into this realm of his presence and of his goodness, and you have to see that God says to you that you're going to do this. So you build up the road, you remove every obstacle, and then he says, for this is what the high and majestic one is. This is who God says is saying, the one who fills the eternal realm with glory. This is what he says. His name is holy, and he says, I will dwell in the high and holy places, but also with the bruised and lowly spirit, those who are humble and quick to repent. I dwell with them to revive the spirit of the humble. He's reviving you. God is reviving you. You need to run to him and to hold on to him in the midst of all of your issues, in the midst of all the issues. So these are just things, you know. And I wrote a book about coming out of breakdown. But in this time that we're facing, when we have differing views, we have differing opinions, and you know, one opinion is louder than the other, and then and you can't take a side in any of these things. You have to know what the truth is. That's why I always trust the word. Always trust the word. Don't be anxious about what's being said. Be excited about what God is saying about these times. There's plenty of people that are awesome and great, and you need to hear what they have to say. You know, people like Chuck Pierce and Rick Joyner, Benny Hinn, Bill Johnson. You need to listen to these people, hear what they're saying in this season, because God's calling us back. And he says, of all these things, disasters happen, and my people who are called by my name, if they humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and then I will heal their land. Well, anyway, guys, God bless you. Thank you so much for your time today. Thank you so much for your love. I want to keep these things short because I know that people are busy in this time. Keep praying. God is doing some great things. Love you guys. Have a great day.